All right, let's open in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, this time to gather together, to fellowship with one another, to worship you and to hear your word. We pray that you'd bless the sermon and you'd bless this year, Lord. We pray that it would be a year of growing closer to you and knowing you deeper. And we thank you for your grace and amen. So I was thinking about sharing my testimony today, but then I started thinking about doing a sermon on goal setting, and I decided, why not? Why not just wait to do my testimony and do a goal-setting sermon now since it's relevant to the holiday? So today's sermon is called A New Year's Meditation. And we're mostly, we have two main verses. We're going to look at two verses from the book of Proverbs, meditate on them, and press them out a bit. And those verses are Proverbs 21, verse 5, and Proverbs 4, verse 26. So let's take a look at Proverbs 21, verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. Now, I'm sure we've all heard different sermons on goal setting. I think this verse is more relevant to goal setting than other verses I've heard on goal setting. But goal setting and planning go hand in hand. There's a lot of overlap. Plans are just goals that have been broken down into steps. You can't have a plan without having a goal. If you have a plan, then you have a goal, even if it's an unspoken goal. If you plan to build a house, then you have a goal of having a house. Plans are just goals with steps. And since the plans of the diligent lead to success, planning is something you should do. And therefore, goal setting, to at least some degree, is something you should do. You should have goals. You don't necessarily need to formalize them or have New Year's style goals, but everyone should have goals. Everyone should have things they want to pursue, things they want to accomplish. And again, it definitely doesn't have to be connected to New Year's, but New Year's is also a fine time to set goals since everyone else is already thinking about it. Let's also look at Proverbs 4, verse 26. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. So to ponder the path of your feet basically means to evaluate the direction you're going in. Ponder means to think about. Pondering the path of your feet is evaluating the direction you're going in. And this is something we need to do in various areas of our lives. And if I'm pondering the path of my feet in regards to my career, I'd ask questions like, where is my career going? Where do I want it to go? Do I need to change anything? If I keep doing things exactly as I'm doing, where will I end up? And evaluating your direction is a very important thing to do, and it's something we should do regularly, not just like once a year, especially not just once every few years. So today we're going to talk about these two ideas, evaluating your direction and goal setting. So we'll start with the first one, evaluating your direction. So I have a few things I want to say about evaluating your direction, and these aren't on the PowerPoint, but they're in your handout. The first one is that there are multiple paths you're on. Unlike, you know, in the physical world, where you're only on one path at a time, because you can only be in one place, your life is on multiple paths, or you have multiple paths that you're on in life. Your career has a path that it's on. Your marriage has a path that it's on. Your parenting has a path that it's on. Your money management has a path that it's on, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And it's important to evaluate each of them. The direction that you're marriage is going in might not be the direction your career is going in. They each have their own path that they're on. So I have some questions I have written down, and they're in the handout, just prompts or tips to help you to evaluate the direction that you're going in a given area. Like, how are things going? What direction are they going in? If I keep doing things how I'm doing now, where is it going to take me? Does that need to change? If so, how does it need to change? And ultimately, what am I going to do about it? And asking these questions makes a difference. that asking questions like this is the reason pondering the path of your feet leads to your ways being established, because it gives you the chance to change something. So I want to list some areas of your life that you should be intentional to evaluate your direction in. The first one is your relationship with God. How well do I know God? How well do I know His Word? How much do I sense His presence? How are things going? What direction are they going in? Another one you should be sure to evaluate is your character. Are there any improvements I need to make in my character? How well does my character match what God's Word says it should? Your career is one that you should ponder the path of your feet in. What direction is it going in? If I don't make any changes, where is this trajectory taking me? What path is my career on? Your marriage is one that you should evaluate your direction in. What direction is my marriage going in? If I were to just keep doing things the way I'm doing them now for the rest of my life, where would that take me in my marriage? And is that good? Your finances is a place you should evaluate your direction. How are things going? Where are they going? If I continue doing things the same way I'm currently doing them, where is that going to take me? Ministry is one that you should evaluate. And you might think, well, I'm not in full-time ministry, but all Christians are called to have ministry, even if it's not full-time. Let's look at Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12. And Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up of the body of Christ. It doesn't say that he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to do the ministry. He gave them to equip the saints to do ministry. So if you're a saint, if you've received Christ, you are called to have ministry. And that's something you should evaluate the direction it's going in. Do I have a ministry? Or maybe better put, have I found my ministry? Do I know how I can actually minister to others, and am I doing it? Is there something I'd like it to change? What direction is that going in? If I just keep doing things the same way I'm doing them now, where is that going to take me? And the last one that I'll give is health. I turned 30 recently, so I have to think about this one now. What direction is my health going in? If I keep living the same way I'm living now for the rest of my life, where is that going to take me? So these are important areas that you should evaluate your direction in. You should ponder the path of your feet. The next thing I want to say about evaluating your direction is, do your evaluating with God. And so there's two ways I would just suggest for doing that practically. The first one is to pray about it as you think through it. Prayer helps everything. Prayer isn't necessarily an instant cure to our problems, but I believe that everything goes better with prayer than it otherwise would without, on at least some level. And praying as you're thinking about things can really be helpful. I've noticed just many times, sporadically, when I ask God something, I quickly find a relevant thought to that question. I don't always know with certainty whether or not it's from Him, but a thought will come to mind that seems like a good place to start quicker than one comes to mind than when I don't pray. And I notice that very consistently. So I would just really recommend praying as you think through these things. The second thing I'd recommend is be committed to doing God's will in each of these areas. Let's look at Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. So this sounds similar. Something about paths being straight, something about our ways. What does it mean to acknowledge God in all your ways? I think what it means is in each area of your life, in each path of your own, to consider, what does God want? What does God want for me in this area? What does he want? And to prioritize that above what you want, if they're not the same. So just in each area, as you evaluate it, have in your mind, what does God want for this? So that's what I have to say about evaluating your direction, which is a good thing to think about around New Year. The second one I want to talk about that we mentioned earlier is setting goals. So setting goals is important. There's a famous saying, if you aim for nothing, you hit it every time. And generally speaking, that's true. If you're not aiming for anything, you probably won't pursue anything. And if you don't pursue anything, you won't accomplish anything. Having goals is important, whether they're formalized or not. Having them written down and thought out is generally a bit better than not having them written down and thought out. But either way, you need goals. Everyone should have goals. So the first thing I want to do is just give some general advice for goal setting. And these aren't in the PowerPoint, but they are in your handout. The first one is make them specific and verifiable or measurable in some way. It's easier to pursue something if you can verify whether or not you've hit it. It's hard to do well at shooting a target where you can't verify whether or not you've hit the target. Like, you could set a goal to be nicer to people. That's good and well, but that's very vague. How nice is nice? What does nice even mean anyway? It's a nice goal, no pun intended, but it's not very verifiable. So anyways, goals that are specific, verifiable, measurable, those are better goals, easier to pursue than goals that aren't. The second thing I'd say is make them realistic. You do want to have goals that push you a bit, or that require at least a little bit of difficulty. Don't make everything in your life easy, but also make sure your goals are realistic. You know, if you don't have any money or a job, aiming to make $1 million this year probably isn't going to happen. That's actually the second part of our verse we read earlier about making plans hastily. But anyways, make realistic goals. The third thing I'd recommend is set deadlines. Things happen more consistently and quicker when you set deadlines, especially if they mean something to you. Generally, if you want your deadlines to mean something to you, someone else needs to know about them. Maybe you're a type of person that just having the deadline means enough to you that you're going to do it. That's great. Most people aren't like that. If you want your deadline to really mean something to you, tell it to someone who will ask you, hey, did you get that done? The one thing you were telling me you were going to get done by today? So set deadlines. And the last recommendation, general advice for goal setting, is break your goals down into steps. The plans of the diligent lead to success, and a plan is a goal that's been broken down into steps. And you might have to break it down into multiple steps. One step of hitting your goal might involve multiple sub-steps. But breaking it down, it does a number of things. For one thing, it makes you have a better idea of how to actually do it. And you're not going to do anything that you don't know how to do. Not to be vague, but it helps you to know what you're doing. It also often helps with motivation. Sometimes when I'm at work and I have a task to do, and it seems kind of like a really big task, and I haven't broken it down yet, I just don't feel very motivated sometimes, because I'm like, well, this is going to be really hard, and I didn't plan on doing this today, and I don't feel like it. And then when I break it down, I'm like, oh, that won't be that hard. It's just like four little things. It's not one big thing. And honestly, that helps me with motivation a lot. And breaking down goals into actual steps might take time, but it's worth it. So that's my general advice for goal setting. Next, I want to talk about some areas I just highly recommend having goals in, four of them. The first one is Bible reading. So Bible reading is important, as we all know. It's one of the biggest ways we know God and his will for his life. And it's not just knowing him and knowing his will, it's spiritual sustenance. It gives us strength in our spirits. We need God's word. So everyone should have goals. They don't necessarily have to be attached to the new year, but everyone should have some type of goal related to their Bible reading. If nothing else, to read each day or most days and how much you're going to read. So some ideas of goals related to Bible reading would be, how much do you plan to read the Bible? What do you plan to read? Is there any part of the Bible you'd like to understand better? And one thing I'll throw out that's just another personal recommendation. When I first started reading the Bible, I used to have chapter-based goals, like I'm going to read 3 chapters a day, or 4 or 5 or whatever. And I don't like that anymore. Now I have a time-based goal, like I'm going to read maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever. But when I had chapter-based goals, I got very tempted on days where I was busy to just rush through it and just read it like as fast as I can, and that isn't good. So I personally just like having time-based goals. But when you have time-based goals, there's no way to know when you're going to finish reading the Bible, because who knows if you're going to read 5 chapters or 5 verses one day, if those 5 verses just really stick out at you and God is speaking to you through them. But anyways, that's just my 2 cents on that. But, you know, how much you read the Bible and know the Bible makes a huge difference in your life. It makes a huge difference in your walk with God, and it makes a huge difference in your spiritual growth. And everyone should at least have a goal of how much they want to read the Bible or how they're going to go about it each day. Just having a standard that you try to hold yourself to for daily reading is a goal. Whether you think of it as a goal or not, it is a goal. Even if you don't plan to finish the Bible in a year or something like that, just planning to read X amount per day is a goal. So the next area I would say I would highly recommend having goals in is prayer. Prayer is very important. Prayer makes everything better than it otherwise would be. And prayer is how God's kingdom expands. It's one of the main ways God's kingdom expands. So some things to think about as you think about goals related to prayer is, how much do you plan to pray? What kinds of things are you going to pray for? Do you have any plans for fasting? What kind of things do you want to pray for, I think is good to think about. You can just plan to have times of prayer and pray for whatever comes to mind, but I think it can be helpful to have themed days, because the Bible gives us certain things that we are to pray for regularly. We should pray for people to come to know Christ. We should do that regularly. We should pray for our leaders, both spiritually and in government. We should pray for those around us, for their well-being and for their growth. And so it can be helpful to, on Monday, during my time of prayer, I pray for these things. And on Tuesday, I pray for those things. You can do that however you want, or you can just every day be the same thing. Just an idea. But I really would recommend at least having a goal to pray for a certain amount of time each day. Just having an amount of time each day set aside for prayer. I would highly recommend that. If you don't have a daily amount of time set aside for prayer, I would really recommend you consider doing so. It's the easiest way to make sure you actually pray. Because if you only pray throughout the day, you definitely should pray throughout the day, but if that's the only way you pray, it's easy to some days pray a lot and other days not pray at all. And prayer does make a massive difference. It's very important. God moves through prayer. God rescued Peter from prison because of prayer. The next area I would highly recommend setting goals in is book reading. Yes. Yep, prayer books can definitely be helpful if you're just getting started out with prayer. So book reading, speaking of books, what books you read, it has a massive effect on your life. It has a massive effect on what you know and eventually on how you think about life, and it just really affects your growth as a person. So some questions to think about as you consider setting goals related to book reading. The first one I would ask is, what areas of my life do I need to learn more in? What areas of my life do I want to know more in or to grow in? That is the most relevant thing when setting books related to goals, because the most relevant thing when setting goals related to books is, which books are you going to read? You can read 100 books a year, and if none of them are relevant to the areas you need to grow in, it won't help. So what areas do I need to learn more in? And that's such a fundamental question. What areas would I be most benefited by learning more in? That's really a fundamental question. And let that determine what you plan to read. And so for each of those areas you come up with, what books are available in these areas? What are the best books, or what books do other people think are the best in this area that I haven't read yet? And you're going to have to do some research, but Amazon makes it really easy, especially since they're trying to sell them to you. Yes, we do.
So you have to go to Amazon. Who has the booklet? Or who would have it?
Yep. But I would still recommend using the internet, because for all the areas you may have to grow in your life, it's hard for us to have a comprehensive book list about each of them, especially if you like want to learn more about computer programming. We don't have a book list for that yet. But yes, also do consult the book lists. But for each area you want to grow in, what books are available in those areas? And one thing I just consider, if nothing else, this thought might motivate you, how big of a difference do you think it would make to read a number of books, the best books in a given area, and just bring that knowledge from multiple books together? I think it would make a massive difference, generally speaking, most of the time. And then another thing to think about is, how many books do I plan to read this year? Or how many books do I have time to read this year, for how much time per day or week I'd like to commit to reading? You got to be realistic. Don't make a list of 100 books if you only have time to read 12. So those are good questions to ask yourself as you think about this. But I do think this is a very important area to have goals in. Howard Hendricks once said, "The two factors that will influence you the most in years ahead are the books you read and the people you're around." And I think there's some real truth to that. Books has a lot of potential as a format. The format of a media really does affect your potential to learn from it. I was talking with someone the other day about how YouTube Shorts is ruining our attention span, and I think he's right. But books are just so helpful for learning. Anyways, the last area I'd highly recommend having some goals in is time management. So in both Ephesians and Colossians, Paul tells us to try to make the best use of our time. So that is something you should be aiming for, because the Bible says it twice. So here's some ideas, three ideas for thinking about goals related to time management. The first one is to just aim to spend a certain amount of time each week or day being productive, like apart from your job. Because the American temptation, the quote-unquote great American temptation, is to work your job, come home, and watch TV and do nothing until you go to bed. That is how the media teaches people to live. That is how the world in America teaches people to live, is to just work your job, come home, watch TV and do nothing until you go to bed, and then do it again. And that you're never going to accomplish anything in life if you do that. God didn't put you here on earth to watch TV. When you came to Christ, God could have taken you to heaven immediately, but he didn't. He left you here to do things, to glorify him. And if you only watch TV, you won't be doing that. So I would recommend having a goal of spending a certain amount of time apart from your job being productive, a certain amount of hours. I'm just going to list some ideas of things you could do. You might feel like, well, what could I do to be productive? There's tons of things you could do to be productive. Volunteering is a thing you can do with your time that makes a difference and is productive. Learning, you know, how much could I learn if I really spent time on it every day? If I took the amount of time I spend watching TV or playing video games or scrolling Facebook, if I used a good portion of that learning, how much more would I know by the end of a year or the end of 5 years? Practicing a skill. Skills are, you could call that learning, but I'm going to bother to put it as different. But like, how good could I get at XYZ, at playing guitar or playing an instrument or at, you know, what have you, some skill that is useful for serving others if I practiced it each day? Making extra money is a thing you can do with your time, and that benefits the kingdom. Paul said in Ephesians, I think, let the one who steals steal no more, but work so that he has something to share. Making extra money is a good goal to have, especially when you want it to share it with the kingdom or with others who are in need. Helping people is something you can do with your time. People have needs. People have projects that you could help on. My car could use someone working on it, probably. But no, I'm not asking for help with that. I can get that taken care of. But we all have things we could use help in. And helping others is a productive thing you can do with your time. And it's something we should be doing as Christians. We should be loving each other and supporting each other. And part of being in Christian community should be helping each other with practical things. Babysitting is a very relevant way to help others. Building relationships is a productive thing you can do with your time, and you might get tempted to think that it's not productive, but it is. Building relationships is necessary. It's so necessary. I want to look real quick at Matthew 5, verses 46 and 47. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? I think it's interesting that right with the section about do you only those who love those who love you, do you only greet your brothers? Like you might think, well, greeting someone's not important, but it represents relationship. And people need relationship. People need friendship. If a person doesn't have friends in life, they will be depressed. People need friends. And you building relationship with others It's not just some meaningless thing. It's very meaningful. Every human on earth needs that. It's very meaningful. It is productive. Don't let yourself think it's not productive. But it takes time. It takes time. Another thing you can do with your time, sharing the gospel. You can think about how you'd share a gospel with a friend and make a point to do so. But doing that takes time. If you want to, you can go to a place like Wright State and share the gospel with strangers. You can even do that on the internet if you want. There's multiple ways you can share the gospel, but they all take time. And prayer. You can spend time in prayer. And I think setting aside time to pray for a certain thing, to just try to see to it that that thing gets accomplished, that makes a difference. That's impactful. God wants the kingdom to operate through prayer because he wants it to operate on his power, not ours. So aiming to spend a certain amount of hours per week beyond just your job, being productive, I think that's a goal everyone should have. Also, I want to say, just like building relationships is important, spending time with your kids is important. Don't let yourself think spending my time with my kids doesn't count as productivity. It is productivity. Your kids need relationship with you. So that is productivity. But aim to be productive with your time. Don't just come home and watch TV. So the other two things I'd recommend to think about in terms of goal setting related to time management is limiting the amount of time you spend on social media. I'd recommend to think about that in one way or another. Teresa recently went 90 days without social media, and she was telling me how much clearer she thinks, and she thinks quicker. Her thoughts are more organized, and ideas come to her quicker. And she was happier during the time. I think she still is. I don't think she's just gone back to doing the same amount of social media. But, you know, it's just so easy to just fall into scrolling like every spare minute. Or even when you don't have a spare minute, you're literally doing something and you just pull out your phone to scroll for a few minutes because you're bored while you're doing something important. And we really need to think about how to get that out of our lives. That's not good for your mental health. So, that's just a suggestion. Do what you think is best, but limiting the amount of time you spend on social media, that could be a good thing to set a goal on. Similarly, it could be good to have a goal to limit the amount of time you spend on TV or video games. It's up to you how you want to do that or if you want to do that, but that might help you make the best use of the time, as Paul says. So I just want to finish this section on time management goals by saying, like, this could make a huge difference in your life. Most people don't realize how much time they had, but if you look at your schedule, if you pull it out on Google Calendar one day and think about, what if I reduced this to the bare minimum amount of things that I have to do? Like, you'd have more free hours than you'd know what to do with for most people. If you actually reduce your schedule to the bare minimum, not saying you have to do that, but just in theory, if you did, most people would have more hours than they know what to do with. If you actually made the use of a goal to make the best use of your time, like, the amount of things you could get done would, or the amount of ways you could grow, because growing in areas takes time, it'd be huge. It's more than most people realize. Let's see, it's 10:08. Yeah. I considered having some time to give people to just think about their goals or think about evaluating their life for a bit, but we're going to skip that. But I would highly recommend taking time this week to sit down, even if it's just setting aside a 30-minute slot, to sit down and think and pray, what direction am I going in my life, in these areas of my life, and do I want to set goals? And just think about it and pray about it. I would really recommend just taking time to do that. So the next thing I want to talk about is just some encouragement for the new year. After I had finished those two sections of the sermon, I was just thinking and praying, and I'm like, you know what else is relevant to the new year? We're just asking God if he has anything he wants to encourage us in, and these things came to mind. So I want to say three pieces of encouragement for the new year. To start off encouraged, Lord willing. The first one, God wants to empower you. Let's look at Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, I want to point out, so a yoke is like a device that two ox pull together for agricultural things, for plowing, I think. And Jesus is using that as an analogy, and he's the one doing the majority of the work. He's the stronger ox. So his yoke being easy doesn't mean there's not much work to do. There's tons of work to do. But his yoke being easy means that the burden of that work will seem light if we rely on his strength for doing it.
It's also, you can't yoke two oxen and they go off in two different directions.
Yep, that would be impossible. Once.
Unless they're unequally yoked.
Let's not get into that.
There's always one that bears more of the
yoke. Yep, but the yoke being light doesn't come from there not being much work to do. It comes from Jesus bearing the burden. It comes from things getting done by his strength, which he wants to lend to us. Let's also look at 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 through 9. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. God wants us to rely on him, and the very power that can raise people from the dead can help you in your daily life and practical situations for your growth and for God's glory. But he wants you to seek him for it. He has that power, and he wants to empower you, but he wants you to seek him for it. And he has amazing things he'll do if you'll seek him for it. Let's look at Ephesians 3, verses 20 through 21. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So God wants to empower you. You know, three thoughts for the new year besides reflection on your life and goal setting. God wants to empower you. The second one is that God wants to bless you. I feel quite strongly that God wants to bless you, and that's something we need to grasp. Let's look at Psalm 81, verse 10. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. This is God's heart towards you in general. And you know, sometimes suffering is part of God's best for you. Because you might read this and tempted to think, God just wants to bless me. It's all going to be good. There's no pain, just blessing. God certainly wants to bless you. That is a longing in his heart. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Just listen to the longing in that verse. He so eagerly wants to bless you fully. But we have to take into account, sometimes suffering is part of God's best for you. It was for Joseph. Joseph got sold into slavery, falsely accused of sexual assault, and imprisoned. And that was God's best for him. But it made sense later that that was God's best for him. Moreover, the Father's best for Jesus, and you better believe the Father loved and fully, his heart was to bless Jesus. God's best for him, the Father's best for him, was suffering, or involved much suffering. But God's heart towards you is filled with passionate desire to bless you. And it isn't all just suffering, there just is suffering involved. But his heart for you is passionate desire to bless you. And that's what he wants to do in 2026. And the last encouragement I want to give is just, God is working.
Amen.
God is working. We really need to see that. So Paul says in Romans 8 that God causes everything to work together for the good of his people. And in John 5:17, Jesus tells the Pharisees, my Father is always working, and so am I. The Father is always doing things. He's always looking at situations and being involved in them. God is always working in your life, even when you don't see it. And John Piper has a famous quote that I love, where he says, God is always doing 10,000 things in your life, and you might be aware of three of them. And that's just the nature of God. His mind is infinite. He sees everything. He sees millions of states and circumstances that are all connected to your life in one way or another. And he's thinking about all of them all the time because his mind is infinite. And he knows exactly what he's going to do in each one to work things together for your blessing.
Amen.
And he is at work in your life setting up good things that you aren't aware of. So in conclusion, evaluating your direction is important. It makes a big difference. Just considering what path am I going on in life? Where is it going to take me? Do I want to change anything or do I want to keep on the same path? Second point of conclusion, making plans and goal setting is important. You're accomplished much more if you're intentional about thinking through your goals than if you don't. And the last thing I want to conclude with, I won't skip that one. We have consistency in growth work matters. What I mean by growth work, like activities that will help you grow, like Bible reading, book reading, practicing a skill, consistency in those things matter. If you have a goal to get to a certain point in an area you're trying to grow in, how quickly you get there just comes down to how consistent you're going to be with putting time into it. And that's the gist of it. Now, the last thing I want to conclude with, again, is God is working. I want to look at 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, or the first part of it. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless towards him. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless towards him. God sees every circumstance in your life and every circumstance in the whole world. He sees all the ones you aren't even aware of. And he sees every circumstance outside of your life, and his infinite mind has already thought through exactly how he's going to work them all out for your good. And he's working in all of them all the time to that end. So let's close in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you that you love us so much more than we know, that your heart is just filled with passionate longing to bless us. We pray that you just help us to grow closer to you and to sense your love more this year. We pray that we would know you deeper and experience your presence more and have deeper, more powerful, more frequent worship this year. We pray that that we would really grow in intimacy of you and knowing your heart, knowing you for who you are. We pray that we'd experience growth in every area this year, Lord. Growth in careers, growth in families, growth in marriage, growth in knowledge, growth in skills, growth in ministry. We pray that we would be close to you and we would enjoy you and that we would just be close to you as you enjoy being close to us. And we thank you for your grace and amen.